From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Well, hello listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, now in the English Service Program. Today, I am Stefanus, will be in here with you, and we have already prepared a lot of information and also good music, all from Indonesia. But first, let's begin with the news, so stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kala economic growth shows a decrease in poverty rate. Minister Sri Mulyani said the Environmental Fund Management Agency is established to protect nature. Now the news in details. Vice President Yusuf Kala said that the indication of poverty reduction can be seen from the economic growth rate of 6% because poverty reduction can not only provide low prices to the community, but also Indonesia's economic growth is in the middle position when compared to other countries, so that strengthening the economy is still a shared task to increase growth. Meanwhile, Executive Secretary of the National Team for the Acceleration of Poverty Reductions, Bambang Widianto, said that one of the efforts to tackle poverty is to reduce welfare inequality. In addition, efforts to reduce inequality that continue to increase also need to be done with the operation of effective tax. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati, and Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar launched the Environment Fund Management Agency to optimize the protection of nature. This was said by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to Minister Sri Mulyani, with the formation of the Environment Fund Management Agency or BPDLH, funding sources will become more flexible than the procurement of the state budget. In the APBN or the state budget, the government allocates a budget for the environment, which increases from year to year. She also mentioned that in 2016, the budget allocation for the environment reached 72.4 trillion rupiah. In 2017, it reached 95.6 trillion rupiah. And in 2018, it reached 109.7 trillion rupiah. The budget is also to support the government commitment to reduce 29% of carbon emissions. In addition, there is an ambitious target of 41% reduction in carbon emission through international cooperation and assistance as a manifestation of the Paris Agreement. Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita symbolically inaugurated the Technical Implementation Unit UPT of the Commercial Order Supervision Center for Medan, Surabaya, Bekasi and Makassar in Medan Wednesday, when symbolically inaugurating the UPT Office of Commercial Control Supervision for Medan, Surabaya, Bekasi and Makassar at the Indonesian Surveyor Office in Medan, he said that the working area of the Office of Commercial Control Supervision in Medan City covers the entire Sumatra region. Meanwhile, Bekasi City covers West Java and Banten regions, Surabaya covers East Java, Central Java, Yogyakarta, Kalimantan, Bali and Nusa Tenggara, and Makassar covers Sulawesi, Maluku and Papua. With the inauguration of the Commercial Order Supervision Center, it is hoped that this will facilitate the implementation of post-border supervision in the regions, which will ultimately provide protections for consumers and enhance the responsibility of business operators. He also said that post-border surveillance is carried out throughout the territory of the Republic of Indonesia, particularly at the entrance points of imported origin goods and domiciles of the importing company. Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman is optimistic that Indonesia will be self-sufficient in sugar sooner. following the sugar investment target by building 10 new sugar factories over the past 5 years. Antara reported that Minister Amran, during a working visit to Indore Joso Manish Sugar Factory in Blitar Regency, East Java on Wednesday, affirmed that his side continued to develop the national sugar industry. According to him, for refined sugar, 10 to 15 new sugar factories must be built again the next 5 years. If this can be realized, Indonesia will become self-sufficient in sugar sooner. This news comes to you from Air Renewal Service, West of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan targets the installed electricity capacity in 2024 is 90 gigawatts. He also explained that over the past 5 years, the installed electricity capacity in Indonesia has increased by 40%. Based on the energy and mineral resources data, in 2014, the capacity reached 50 gigawatts and currently it has reached nearly 70 gigawatts. Minister Jonan also explained that the state electricity company PTPLN will also develop new and renewable energy. He wants PTPLN to be triggered to increase the development of new and renewable energy. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Electricity Community, MKI, is pushing electricity 4.0 to develop in various industrial sectors in a bid to achieve better electrifications. The MKI held a 74th National Electricity Day seminar and exhibition at the Jakarta Convention Center in Jakarta on Wednesday with the theme Sustainability of the Electricity Sector in the Face of the Industrial Era 4.0. The Indonesia-Italy Business Forum, IIBF, attended by 100 business people from Indonesia and Italy, managed to attract 47 Italian business people to establish business and investment cooperation. As quoted by Antara Agency, Indonesian Ambassador to Italy, S.T. Andayani, in a statement on Wednesday said that Indonesia and Italy have forged cooperation in various sectors. The cooperation has potential to be further enhanced, particularly in the economic sector. Ambassador Asti noted that during the forum, the business people from Italy expressed interest to hold business meetings with 8 Indonesian business people, and they have potentials to make business deals. The IIBF 2019 was organized as part of a series of activities held to celebrate the 70th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Italy. The event was co-organized by the Indonesian Embassy in Rome, Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry Kadin, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Italian Trade Agency ITA ICE, the Confindustria, and Italian Chambers of Commerce for Southeast Asia. Indonesia and Singapore have agreed to follow up on the cooperation to develop the Nongsa Digital Park and Kendal Industrial Zone that is projected to intensify bilateral cooperation between the neighboring nations. As quoted by Antara Agency, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto in a statement of Wednesday, explain that several cooperation agreement inked by the two countries are in the economic sector, such as investment, trade, digital economy, and vocational education. This is a follow-up of an agreement during last year's leaders' retreat. At the 2019 annual leaders' meeting in Singapore on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo, accompanied by Minister Hartarto and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, discussed the cooperation. Minister Hartarto noted that the Indonesian government praised Singapore's investment in the Kendal Industrial Zone, Central Java's largest industrial zone, and the emblematic of the bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore. Listen, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's the commentary, and it is entitled, Bilateral Relations Affect Border Negotiations. Indonesia is an archipelago country whose waters is bordering directly with 10 neighboring countries, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, India, the Philippines, Vietnam, Papua New Guinea, Australia, the Republic of Palau, and Timor-Leste. The maritime boundary between Indonesia and Australia has been agreed. However, Indonesia is still reviewing the process for the maritime boundary agreement between Indonesia and Australia that was signed back in 1997. Meanwhile, maritime boundaries with other neighboring countries have only been determined by setting the boundaries of the continental shelf and part of the territorial sea boundary, or territorial sea. The completion of Indonesia's maritime boundaries with neighboring countries has been a priority program since the beginning of the reform era. However, the process looks slow, and until now, the determination has not been completed. Indeed, it is not an easy task to negotiate with various countries related to the borders among the neighboring countries. There are several reasons why negotiation of maritime boundary has been in a slow progress. First, boundary line must be agreed upon by the two sovereign states. This means that the shared principle must be carried out by the both parties. Second, boundaries are related to sovereign ones. Thus, the two countries have to be very careful because once a border is established, it can no longer be questioned. Third, international law on maritime borders, even the 1982 UNCLOS or United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, has not provided standard norms to guide countries in determining a just and acceptable borderline for both parties. The Indonesian government keeps encouraging the acceleration of Indonesia's maritime border agreements with the 10 neighboring countries. In fact, Indonesia has made accelerating negotiations on the determination of maritime boundaries as one of the priorities of foreign policy. In accelerating negotiations to determine maritime boundaries, Indonesian government must not stick on the legal aspect only. The more important point is to establish good bilateral relations with other countries, because good relations between two countries are one of the factors that influences acceleration of the border negotiations. And listener, that was our commentary today.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program, Today in History, starts from an event on October 10, 1970, on Fiji Independence Day. Fiji was found by the Dutch explorer Abel Tasman when he tried to find Big South Continent in 1643. But in 19th century, European people arrived on the island to stay over there permanently. The island fell on Great Britain as colony in 1874. On October 1970, Fiji gained its independence. Democratic government experienced military coup twice in 1987. After the second coup, military government led by Sitiveni Rabuka declared that Fiji as a republic in 1987. The name of the country was changed from Dominion Fiji to become Republic of Fiji, and changed again to be Republic of Fiji Island in 1997. Next event is the World Mental Health Day. World Health Organization, or WHO, annually commemorates World Mental Health Day on October 10th by aiming to raise awareness around mental health and to mobilize efforts in a bid to support better mental health. The commemoration was initiated for the first time by World Federation for Mental Health in 1992, by carrying mission to improve knowledge, awareness, and people's advocacy throughout the world on mental health. In Indonesia, the World Mental Health Day began to be determined in 1993. The mission which was carried is to honor human rights of the psychiatric disorders, to expand mental health problems prevention programs, to bring health access up to society, to expand service coverage, and to optimally improve effort of health mental. The last event is that in 2007, Sheikh Muzaffar Shukor, the first Malaysian, was launched to space. Sheikh Muzaffar Shukor, the first Malaysian who flew to the space, was announced by Prime Minister Abdullah Badawi on September 25, 2007. Rocket which carried out Sheikh Muzaffar Shukor was launched from Baikonur launching in Kazakhstan on October 10, 2007. The rocket also carried out a Russian and US astronauts who would be on duty for 6 months at the International Space Station to replace two astronauts who would return to Earth along with Shukor. Shukor became the first Muslim who flew to the space during Holy Month of Ramadan and was the space when it was Idul Fitri. Shukor was the station for 9 days. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Matamu melemahkanku saat pertama kali kulihatmu. Dan jujur, ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Matamu melemahkanku saat pertama kali ku lihatmu. Dan jujur, ku tak pernah merasa, ku tak pernah merasa begini. Oh, mungkin inikah cinta pandangan yang pertama. Karena apa yang ku rasa ini tak biasa. Jika benar ini cinta, mulai dari mana? Oh, dari mana? Dari matamu, matamu kulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayang. Aku buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. Dari matamu, matamu ku mulai jatuh cinta. Ku melihat, melihat ada bayangnya. Dari masa aku buatku jatuh, jatuh terus, jatuh ke hati. jatuh ke hati.
Thank you, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world. Next one will be My Indonesia, and you will be listening to one of very interesting information from our country.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia titled, Ministry of Environment and Forestry Focusing on Plastic Waste Sources at Indonesian Sea. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry plans to trace the source of plastic waste in the Indonesian Ocean from 2020. This was conveyed by Director of Coastal and Marine Pollution and Sea Damage Control, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Dida Miktar Rida, in a discussion on marine plastic waste on the sidelines of Sustainable Development Goals SDGs Annual Conference 2019 in Central Jakarta on Tuesday, October 8. Dida Miktar Rida said, the effort was made to find out certainly the parties who contributed to the pollution of plastic waste in the sea. The plastic waste in the Indonesian sea might come from other countries. It is proven from the garbage found in Gorontalo waters, saying from the writing, the garbages came from abroad. Dida Miktar Rida said that tracing the sources of waste entering the Indonesian sea will begin next year by using modeling created by the ministry in cooperation with the Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB. Dida explained it was important to look for the origin of the garbage to avoid disputes. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry's data shows that the amount of solid waste generation in Indonesia is 175,000 tons per day, or equivalent to 64 million tons per year, which includes 50% of organic waste, 15% plastic, 10% paper, and the rest consists of metal, rubber, cloth, glass, and etc. Of the total plastic waste, it is estimated that only 10 to 15% is recycled. As many as 60 to 70% is buried in landfills, and 15 to 30% has not been managed and discharged into the environment, especially to aquatic environments such as rivers, lakes, beaches, and sea. Researcher from the Indonesian Institute of Sciences Oceanographic Research Center, LIPI, Yeti Darmayanti said, LIPI monitors marine waste through 18 stations spread across various regions in Indonesia. According to the LIPI station monitoring results, around 50% of marine waste is plastic waste, which amounts to between 300,000 to 600,000 tons per year. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Kamu bahagia mengenal diriku sama seperti aku bahagia mengenalmu. Tidak masalah berbeda dan ragu, kamu dan aku sama-sama mencari tahu kemana kita akan melangkah, menemukan apa dan berbuat apa. Kita generasi yang penuh harapan dan selalu mencari, ingin merasakan dahsyatnya dunia yang sebenarnya, dunianya kita. Sangat menjadi pertanyaan kita. Genggam tanganku, menggapai mimpi. Kamu dan aku sama-sama mencari tahu kemana kita akan.
akan melangkah menemukan apa dan berbuat apa. Kita generasi yang penuh harapan dan selalu mencari, ingin merasakan dahsyatnya dunia yang sebenarnya, dunianya kita. Kita tak berhenti, kan terus berjalan beri yang terbaik. Dalam perjalanan temukan jawaban yang tersembunyi di luar sana. Temukan
from Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Listener, you're still with us in the English service from the Voice of Indonesia. Next one, we will introduce you some, well, our culture or our tourism destination. I believe you can name the next program. It is Indonesia Wonder.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Laung Anai, a tourism village in Kutai, Kartanegara. Laung Anai is one of villages at Loa Kulu sub-district, Kutai Kartanegara Region C, East Kalimantan Province. The village has the status as cultural village since 2007. Interestingly, the village is one of the birth points of Dayak Kenyah community, precisely sub-tribe of Lepok Jalan. Dayak Kenyah Lepok Jalan tribe comes from Malinau region, North Kalimantan, exactly from Apau Kayan village. Currently, the tribe settled surrounding 20 villages in East Kalimantan. But the largest community existed at Laung Anai. According to history, Dayak Kenyah Lepok Jalan community began to come to Laung Anai in the 1960s. To reach Laung Anai Tourism Village, it takes 3 hours from Samarinda, the capital city of East Kalimantan, through land transportation. You will pass through winding and rocky roads. However, you can enjoy green pasture views and shady trees along the trip. Once arriving at Lung Ane village, you will directly see Lamin House. Lamin is traditional house of Dayak Kenya tribe. The house is usually used to welcome guests and become the center of all traditional ceremonies of the local people. Lung Ane villagers still preserve their tradition until nowadays. One of traditions which is still preserved by Lung Ane villagers is Uman Undak. The ceremony is an expression of gratitude toward abundant harvest in a year. The ceremony is conducted by pounding rice in a mortar to be flour, after that entered into pieces of bamboo, then burned. After the rice flour in the bamboo has cooked, then eaten together with the villagers. Tourists who attend the ceremony can participate in Uman Adat tradition. In Lung Ane Tourism Village, you can also buy typical handicrafts of the village as souvenir. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Aku, nanti kamu
You are still with us in The Voice of Indonesia. Next, we'll present to you interesting information from our country in miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on mental health application. October 10 is commemorated as World Mental Health Day annually. This year, the day has a theme, Mental Health Promotion and Suicide Prevention. The commemoration is supported by World Health Organization, WHO, the International Association for Suicide Prevention, and United for Global Mental Health. As quoted from WHO, suicide prevention becomes the main focus this year. Because almost 800,000 people die due to suicide every year. This means that one person dies every 40 seconds. Suicide also becomes number two after the death factor in the world between 15 until 28 years old kids. Indonesian government is aware with Indonesian people mental health condition. In 2019, along with the commemoration of World Mental Health Day, Indonesian Health Ministry launches mental health application on Android, which can be downloaded free of charge through Play Store. The application is to give information on mental health and solution, which is easy and fast in reporting or checking if there is a mental health patient amid the society. The lack of people's literation level on the importance of mental health becomes the main reason why Indonesian Health Ministry is to develop the application. The most interesting point from mental health application is that people can do screening and checking whether their mental is disturbed or not. In the application, health facility and information on psychiatric disorder, depression, and anxiety are provided. In addition, the application is useful for parents in Indonesia, because it provides information related to how to nurse kids to the next future in order the kids do not experience psychiatric disorder. That was our segment for today, Miss Seleni. Thanks for listening.
It seems that besides information, we have also provided you some good songs from Indonesia. And yes, you're still with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We still have more information, plus the music in the music corner. So stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we present a song to you from Cool Colors, an Indonesian boy band who famous in the 1990s era. Cool Colors has personals of top male models, which consist of Teguh Rian, Ari Sihasale, and Surya Saputra. The boy band group began to be known since they released the song Tataplah in 1996. The song tells about a man who wants to always be part of the beloved girl. He wants the girl look into his eyes that radiate the sincerity of love that never goes out. Listener, let's listen to the song Tataplah by Cool Colors. Enjoy the song.
Kau lepas sahih.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Hati lebih dari yang kumiliki. Selalu ada waktuku bila untuk dirimu, menemani hari-harimu. Tiada pernah letihku mengungkapkan rasaku. Tetaplah bersama.
Saya ingin
Voice of Indonesia.
Very unfortunate because our time is quite limited in the English service, but from the Voice of Indonesia, we have still long time. We are running for 24 hours, but next will be in different language service. So before we move on, do not forget to send your criticism, suggestion, or question about our programs. Please kindly send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. voi@voinews.id, and also our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listener, I'm Stefanus, and all the crews are thanking you for listening, and make sure that you will stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.